Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded live at our Sunday morning service. We come to the end of our Advent series on joy. Today our speaker is the Reverend Fabian Wirtz, Vicar of St. James, and it's entitled Joy Transforms the World. Our reading is taken from Isaiah 52, verses 7 to 10. You can watch the whole service on our YouTube channel, which is linked on our website.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 7, beginning from verse 10. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights." But Ahaz said, "I will not ask, I will not put the Lord to the test." Then Isaiah said, "Hear now, you house of David. It is not enough, is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of God also? Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading is from Matthew chapter 1, and we're starting at verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we this morning remind ourselves that in Jesus you came to fulfill the prophets. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. Be with us in our thoughts, in our hearts, as we allow ourselves to be guided into this coming year. Use the words to speak to each and everyone what you want us to hear. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So yes, Christmas has just passed, and like James said, it will be a different experience for each and everyone. For some of us, it's just great joy to share time with family, with friends, going back to some of our great traditions and having laughter around tables. But for others, and maybe there is a mixture, it might be a bit more complicated. Managing expectations, navigating old tensions, holding together relationships that are not always easy. For others, even sometimes Christmas is marked by an absence, missing someone dear, carrying a grief, or experiencing a quietness that felt closer to isolation than peace. And then we also find ourselves at the end of a year and at the beginning of a new one. Many of us carry a mixture of emotion about that. Maybe gratitude for moments of joy and growth and kindness we've experienced this past year, but also the weight of challenges and maybe disappointment or losses that we did not choose. And then all this unfolds against the backdrop of an anxious world, growing tensions and conflicts, fractures in our communities and world, and a steady stream of troubling news about the economy, the social cohesion, and peace. It can feel as though uncertainty has become the normal condition of our life. And into this reality, our mixed emotions, or maybe weariness, but also our hope, the Church dares to speak a simple yet radical proclamation that God is with us. Not just that God was with us in Jesus, but God remains with us in Jesus through the presence of His Holy Spirit. And maybe, as we saw in that little video, one of the way we could describe Jesus is sticky Jesus. Not distant, not untouched, not insulated from the mess of real world. It's Jesus stepping, God stepping fully into the reality of our world with its joys and with its pains and suffering, choosing to enter its struggles, embrace all its realities, and live through its challenges and temptations. And so we have that verse: the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, God with us. Not God above us, not observing us from afar, but God right in the midst of our reality. But if Emmanuel is God with us, what does God's presence look like when there is fear, when the future looks uncertain? A little bit like what we see today. Well, in our context in Isaiah 7, that's exactly the situation they were encountering. The events when Isaiah speaks words to Ahaz takes place around 734 and 732 BC during his reign. And what was happening is that there was serious military threat from Assyria. And Aram, which was representing the area of Syria, and the northern kingdom, Israel, had formed an alliance. And they wanted Judah to join in to rise against that superpower of Assyria. And Ahaz refused. And because of his rejection, they had planned to invade Jerusalem, to overthrow him, and to install a puppet king. And we have this reading in earlier in the chapter that when Ahaz heard about their plans to invade, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. Fear was everywhere, and the future for them looked very bleak indeed. Now God speaks into that fear, and he speaks in a very surprising way. We read, God says, ask of me, ask of the Lord your God a sign. Let it be as deep as Sheol, or as high as heaven. And that's quite extraordinary, because normally in Scripture, it is people who ask God a sign. And God then decides whether he will give one or not. But here God initiates. Why? Well, because the context is that Ahaz is actually not interested in following God's plan. His fears and his evil art are driving him towards decisions that will shape the nation's future, and it is done not out of trust, but out of self-preservation. And Ahaz had a plan. His plan was to compromise. His plan was to go to Assyria and to make an alliance. And God was offering a sign to Ahaz, which he refused. I will not, he says, ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. Which at first glance seems, wow, this is a nice, humble person, you know, very spiritual. But in reality, it was completely the opposite. Ahaz refuses not because he looks up to God and respects him, but because he had already decided what he wanted to do. He does not want God to interrupt his plans. He does not want God's voice to complicate his strategy. And so he chose security over trust. Asking God for a sign would require a possible surrendering to his plans, to God's plans, trusting and obeying his direction, not following his own self-direction. So Ahaz refuses, not because he respects God, but because he doesn't want to submit to God's answer, to God's will, to God's way. And this decision will have devastating effect for him and the people in his care. And yet, in that story, his refusal is not the end of God's story. God comes with a promise. And he says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And the sign will be the woman will be with a child. She shall bear a son, and she shall name him Emmanuel. Why a promise of a child? Maybe because God's sign was not domination. God's signs, God's promise, God's most powerful promise to us is not that he will conquer our fear and that we give us victory. It's the promise of his presence in all that we go through. God with us. Now the question for us today is, how often do I function like Ahaz? Individually, or as a local church, or as a national church or denomination, when our choices are shaped by pride or fear or self-preservation, when we choose what feels safe and manageable and controllable, things we can actually accomplish, yes, with a little bit of help from God, but mainly in our own strength. We pray for God's blessing, but what we really want is God's endorsement. God bless my life. God bless my plans. God bless my ministry. Now, those can be good prayers when they come from an attitude of submission and surrender and trust. But they can also mean God endorse and make successful what I have decided is the best way forward. You hear the difference? That was Ahaz's attitude. It's about blessing without obedience. It's about success without trust. It's about faith without the cross. But Emmanuel, God with us, says something deeper. It says, I will be with you as you surrender yourself to my way of life. I will walk with you. It would not always be easy, and I'm not here to make your life easier, but I am here to make your life holy and fruitful. A life lived with Emmanuel bears fruit, fruit that lasts, because it flows from trust, not pride or control or arrogance, like Ahaz. And so Isaiah 7 gently but firmly asks us today, where am I relying on my own alliances? Where do I resist God's voice because it disrupts my plans, my way of doing things, my roles, my positions, my influence? Where have I confused safety for faithfulness? Emmanuel is not a tool to secure control. God is with us, but God is with us as we learn to trust, to surrender, and to live from his presence. Now, what was promised to Ahaz in Isaiah becomes flesh and blood in Matthew's gospel. Emmanuel, God with us, is no longer a future hope. It's a living reality in the birth of Jesus. And yet, just as in Isaiah's time, the arrival of Emmanuel continues to challenge expectations. The problem for many in the first century was not that God came, they were expecting that, but it was how he came and what his coming revealed about God's intention and character. They expected a king with power, a Messiah who would defeat the Romans, a restorer of national pride, a God who would confirm their righteousness and destroy all the unrighteous ones. And Emmanuel shattered expectations. God did not come to reinforce existing system of power. He came to overturn them from the inside out. He didn't arrive at the center of influence, but at the margins. He didn't seek the approval of the powerful, but the hearts of the humble. And so the gospel is strikingly consistent about who received Jesus: the socially invisible, the outsiders, the sinners and tax collectors, the sick and the possessed, the marginalized, the poor in spirit. Why? Maybe because they knew their need for grace, their need for mercy, their need for guidance, for help, for strength, their need for a new life. Maybe they didn't have a reputation to defend. Maybe they didn't have a position to protect. They recognized grace when it came to them. Emmanuel didn't threaten their built identity, their status, or their position of influence. Emmanuel gave them an identity and a status. They became God's beloved ones. On the other hand, a strong resistance came from those who had the most invested in the way things were. Those committed to being right, to being important, wealthy, admired, respected, wanted, in control and in power. And for them, Jesus was dangerous, not because he was violent, but because he was truthful. His presence exposed false righteousness, borrowed authority, fragile control, an identity built on status, wealth, and power. Emmanuel was a threat to their way of life, to their influence, to their power. And here is where the gospel refuses to let us stay comfortable. Because it's so easy to point at Herod's violence and the Pharisees' self-righteousness and the Sadducees' love of control and status as though there were nothing of that in us. But the truth is, there is. And when Emmanuel comes close enough for those realities to be revealed, we might resist ourselves. You see, God is with us not just for comfort. He's with us to transform us. His presence is not just a comforting presence, it's a transforming presence. And presence is unsettling when it exposes our motives, our fears, our pride, our hunger for approval, or attempt to secure worth through achievements or influence or positions or control. But this is where the good news breaks through. You see, when we stop using God or faith or spirituality or even the church to secure our sense of worth, we discover something far more precious. Our worth is found in being held in the presence of God, the God who is love, the God who says, "I will be with you. I know you by name. You are mine." And we grow into that greater freedom then to live and serve not out of self-interest, self-effort, self-protection or self-preservation, but in the power of God's own life within us, the Holy Spirit. And so Matthew's gospel leaves us with the same choice faced by Israel in the time of Ahaz. Will we receive Emmanuel as he is, or only as we want him to be? Because Emmanuel does not exist to confirm our importance. He comes to give us life, and life in all its fullness. And that kind of life flows when we allow God not only to change us, but to transform us. So the question this morning remains: In 2026, how much will I learn to let go of trying to make God fit my plans? How much will I grow in my desires to align my life with God's ways? It's a choice that we will have day by day. When we've tried to fit God into our plans, it leads to exhaustion and striving. We often compare and compete with others. We have control that's disguised as wisdom or activism, which doesn't bring lasting fruits. On the other hand, to allow our lives to grow into God's plans leads to something quite different. I think when we walk in God's plan and in God's presence, there is a deepening awareness of His presence, a sharing in God's very life, a quiet confidence that God is at work, and there is a growing awe and gratitude, and there are fruits that last. This second way requires courage, the courage to surrender false securities or identities, the courage to trust enough to let go, the courage to let the Spirit reveal what is rooted in fear, in pride, in habits, in self-preservation, so that true life may grow. So may we dare, maybe in this new year and throughout 2026, to pray, not safe prayers, but honest ones. May we dare to seek faithfulness. May we open ourselves to the life and power of Emmanuel, God with us, transforming us from the inside out more and more, and be made visible through our obedience and surrender. We do that not for our own sake, not for the sake of this local church, not for the sake and the pride of the Church of England. We do that for the sake of the world, for our neighbors, our town, our nation, and our world. Amen.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website, www.stjamestaunton.co.uk, and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.